Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
I'm a feminist, but I'd rather have dinner with John Hamm than sex with Millicent Fawcett.
Fabulous. I'm a feminist, but though I've managed to wean myself off putting kisses at the end of all of my emails and text messages, still, every time I do remember not to end with kisses, I think, ooh, check you out, you brutal, badass, brassy business bitch. You are a cold, cold professional.
I'm a feminist, but when I went to the statue unveiling of Millicent Fawcett, famous suffragist, I wanted to boo Theresa May when she came out to give a speech, but I didn't because I'm obviously more polite than I am feminist. I thought people would, but no one did. And I looked around. I think we were all looking around like, are you going to start the booing? Are you going to start the booing? Well, we were all invited guests, and it seemed really rude. I'd been invited by Sadiq Khan. I thought, I don't want to embarrass him. But I was looking to the left, right, because I thought if I could sort of silently boo. Not silently. That would be, well, it's what I was doing.
Just like this.
But, yeah, yes. And for the listeners at home, Jessica Foster Q is lip-syncing booing. But I thought, if other people do it, I could... She's now lip-syncing some sweary words.
Resign. It was resign. I'm a feminist, but I saw a woman get served with a huge, fresh, glistening hot pizza, and I thought, yes, mate. And I saw her reach for the chili oil, and I thought, yes, mate. And then I saw her just pour an entire lake of the oil and pouring more and more of it right into the middle of the pizza. The middle. Like an orange molten top of an erupting volcano. And I thought, how could she? It's for the crusts.
Did you pizza shame somebody? I'm a feminist, but I stole a seat reserved for better feminists than me at the Millicent Fawcett statue unveiling. There were seats, and I was like, it was going to be ages before they unveiled anything. So I just sat down there, and then somebody leaned over and said, are you for the such and such feminist society? Because that's what these seats are reserved for. And I went, yep.
I'm a feminist, but I watched the whole of Meghan and Harry's wedding, which I hadn't expected to, and I spent the entire thing having a full range of involuntary gushing emotions. Eyes welling, heart bursting, apart from the occasional moments where I could see James Corden. And frankly, I was grateful for the respite.
I did. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneous Show presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis Wright, guest co-host Jessica Costigan, and very special guests Catherine Bohart, Sophie Duca, and Ella Jones, talking about work-life balance. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as 21st century feminists and the hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them. We're talking about work-life balance. And there are things making that tricky at the moment. Because
I've got uncomfortable pants in this silly frock.
So that's a specific example of an issue.
Yeah.
That creates a difficult work-life balance because in her life, she needs to sit down and wear pants, but for work, they're in the way. So there's a great example of... I think it should be life-work balance because life should come first before work, right? Yes, unless your life is your work and then it gets very complicated. So at the moment, so normally I don't have a job. And then, brilliantly, Channel 4 have announced so I can say I have a Channel 4 pilot... So, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very exciting. Very exciting. I hope we get a series.
Is anyone good writing on it? Or
you have been writing on it, Jessica Foster.
Cool. Yeah, cool, cool.
Now,
cool,
what
cool.
That means is there's a throbbing, thriving writers' room for the show, and it's very exciting. But it means we've got a proper job now, Jess, doesn't it? It means like we have to be at an office at 10 in the morning.
So not stressful.
I should have said 7.
At 10 in the
I've
morning.
Lost the room. I've lost the room for proper job people. I'm like, fuck you, and fuck you. And we're there till half past 4 some days. Writing jokes there, buddies. All right, I know these writer's room hours don't seem long if you're a nurse.
But they feel it.
They're not. But then we have to work at night as well, so then we have to still be bouncy at this time of night. And still, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, gang, but I'm still at work. Now...
Bouncy's pushing it. I sometimes get by on buoyant.
Buoyant.
Barely buoyant.
So for this reason, I need a lot of stamina at the moment because it's intense. You're thinking, oh, God, don't fuck this up, you know, all of those things. So I'm doing two things. One is I'm doing loads of yoga, like serious loads. And last week I got into a place with yoga where I'd done it so many days in a row. It was like doing drugs. I got so floaty with it and I was doing like hot yoga and stuff and I was like, oh my God, I'm the stretchiest I've ever been. I'm so bendy, I'm just like spaghetti. Oh, it was amazing. And then I had 2 days off and I went back to being so stiff that
brittle.
I was like an ironing board. I was like an iron... Two
Such
days
a
later...
brutal word, isn't I went it? Brittle.
I went from spaghetti to ironing board, from flexible to brittle in 2 days.
Even in the 2 days off, can you just find a couple of moments for a child's pose?
I did.
But I didn't do it properly.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm doing, gang, is mindful eating. Because what I find is when I get stressed...
Eating brains.
No, Jess. That is not what I meant.
Like a zombie.
No, Jess.
But it's not a diet.
No. It's not. It's the opposite of a diet. Now... The reason I'm doing it is because when I get stressed, my mindful eating goes out the window and I just, if there's a packet of Hobnobs on the table, I can eat 12, like, easily. Just be like...
All right, bragging.
I just get... I get stressed and I think the part of my brain that wants calm, love, peace, attention, devotion, you know, any of those things. Devotion's too strong. That sounds like I've got a God complex. Take that one. So
looking for devotion from 12 hobnobs is a beautiful thing.
Worship. I
love
want the hobnobs
as much as I
to
love
worship
you.
Me. So,
so it's a losing battle, mate.
And it makes me feel out of control. It's not about, body. It's not about body issues. I mean, it is a bit because I'm a woman and I live in a patriarchy. But most of it's about, I don't want to feel like a runaway train at a time when I want to be focused. And if I'm eating without realizing or without being able to stop, I get into this runaway train mode and it affects my mental health. So I've decided to go into a program of yoga and mindful eating. So I've started. This is my challenge. I've signed up to something called Beyond Chocolate. And a lovely lady does, it's like little podcasts. You love it. She talks you through your stages, like, first stage is great. The first stage, I'm only on the first one, to be honest. The first stage is eat anything you want.
Sounds fucking amazing.
It's great. It's
Jesus.
Great. No, but already, already. Great. You know, you have the good foods and the bad foods, the healthy foods and the naughty foods. She said, just get rid of all of that. And all you have to do is check in and tune in and go, what do I really want now? But you've got to just take time to go, am I hungry? Or is there something else? And if I do want food, what do I really, really want? And I have to go, oh, no, not that, not that, not that. And it's like being a very fussy eater as a child. And already I'm eating half as much food and enjoying it twice as much.
Amazing.
Then you have to sit there and really
but
enjoy
you know,
it.
So I have a therapist that I work on this stuff with because I've I'm on the spectrum of binge eating disorder. You're welcome. and I think actually what you're describing is how you end up approaching a relationship with eating if you ever come at it from a psychiatric mental health point of view.
Oh,
and
I
it's
see.
All about I reconnecting. See. It's not about restriction. It's not
no.
about it's take about taking all the moral value out of
yes.
and all the reward sins. But it's so hard if your work-life balance isn't right.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm having to do it, because my work-life balance isn't right. So I'm having to sit there like this and go, what do I really want to eat? But really listen to my body. Because my brain says, this is the story my brain tells, you want all of the chocolate all of the time. That's lying. My body doesn't want that.
It might not be.
No, your body doesn't. Your brain does, but your body doesn't. And so here's the odd news. What my body wants when I really listen is mostly vegetables, which is annoying. I'm tuning in, trying to hear... No, I'm tuning in, I'm trying to hear chocolate sundae. It's not what you hear. It's not what you hear when you really assess what you really, really want. It's true.
I don't know if you're really listening.
It's what my body wants. It wants. It's what
just
it wants.
Wants an
I'm
aubergine.
No, it does want sugar sometimes. It does want sugar. But I've since I've been doing this, I forget to snack now. I forget. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, it's
no.
really working.
Well, that's
for me.
A really important thing.
Because normally
I have
I'm
an
like...
app, of course I do, that reminds me to snack so that when I get to meals, I'm not so ravenous that I go.
The sort of mindful eating I'm doing, I only eat when I'm hungry and then I'm really tuned into what I actually really, really want. But then I sit and eat the food without my phone, which is. I know.
Hard.
It's hard. But you have to sort of really enjoy it. And I find that I stop a lot more. I'm like, I don't really want this second piece of toast. No, no. And then sometimes I want it half an hour later, but I don't just shovel it in anymore. It's really great. I'm loving it. I'm really loving it.
I'm happy for you, and I think it's brilliant. The only thing I would say is I don't think when you get things like a website or an app or something like that, then it's not necessarily a quick fix, and you should be very kind to yourself if at times of peak stress, etc., that goes up the shitter.
Oh, that's the whole point.
Because
Beyond Chocolate says
that.
No, Beyond Chocolate says, just be curious as to your process. So if you do eat a pack of Hobnobs, just go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
what
I wonder
that?
How I'm feeling when I'm doing that. It's true. So I had one of the funniest conversations of my life was a conversation with my therapist where she'd had me do this thing where every time I felt inclined to eat when I knew I wasn't hungry, I had to stop and think about what I was feeling in the moment. And my first ones were all the classics, anxiety, stress, fresh out of an argument, etc. And then it went on and I was like, oh, massive adrenaline, okay. And then as this sort of week went on, I realised it was... every emotion. I shit you not, right down to very mild relief. I was walking home from a day's little odd jobs here and there, and I realised that my evening gig was cancelled. I was up for doing the gig, but it turns out it was cancelled, and I had an evening free to myself. And my first thought was, could get a burrito on your way home for dinner. And I stopped in the street, it was on Regent Street, and went, no! Not even mild relief. I'm not writing the emotions down anymore. I'm just writing all. And it's not, I think I'll get an aubergine on the way home before dinner.
No, I know, I know.
Congratulations. I'm just bitter with twisted jealousy.
No, 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 because I genuinely do think when you sit there and you ask your body what it wants, not your mind, when you say to your body, what do you need... there's a little tiny voice in your body deep down that goes, feed me vegetables, please. You've been feeding me chocolate too long and I can't stand up anymore. It wants them. It wants them deep down. It's deep, Jess. It's deep. This voice is very far away. It's
virtually imperceptibly deep.
Please welcome to the stage, Jessica Vostokiw!
You all right? If a tree falls in a wood, but no one hears, did it fall? If my... Answers at the end. If my work doesn't feel like work because I love it, is it still work? Yes! The answer is yes to both. How arrogant are people who think that just because they're not in the forest, the tree didn't fall over? Me. You don't have to be there seeing everything live. Similarly, even if you love your work so much that you've let it seep into every pore and crevice of your life, it's also probably quite a great plan to make room in your week to listen to your mum, wash your armpits, and learn Klingon. I won't fuck about when it comes to work-life balance. Balance isn't quite the right word for me. Balance makes it sound like something graceful and impressive and fair, like a dance, like an art, like a kind mediation. I've got work-life vertigo. I'm a woman on the edge, but at least rarely totally, utterly over it. I'm almost always dizzy, spinning from one deadline to the next, constantly calling compromises between my ambition, my sanity, and my morals. That's not a poker table you want to be around the side of, right? But I don't know. I think I am choosing this life, and I think I love it. I think even the word work sounds heavier than life. Life is one letter away from light. It's like an airy-fairy diet word. How on earth can you expect light life to last more than a second in an arm wrestle with work? Work. Work's heavy. But what I've done, and I'm so grateful, is to be so, so lucky to have found two careers to have at once, neither of which feel like work, by which I'm not saying that they're easy. Comedy, acting and writing, that's one career. That doesn't feel like work because it's too fun. And parenting, which doesn't feel like work because it's so unpaid. Often thankless, sometimes makes you feel so full of love that you're going to need to be sick. And in both instances, I chose that, and I'm lucky and I'm grateful. But I have to carve out time for me and my son. And there is always the danger of work infiltrating that time because of mobile phones. I think that they are the most brilliant and most awful thing that's happening to us all at once. So when you see a baby's face, as any human being, even if you're in no way inclined to ever want one, in which case, lucky you. I went mad. When you see a baby's face as a human being, you release an involuntary jet of dopamine. It's a human response because babies are such useless, vulnerable, tiny fools. So we've evolved to have a physical, physiological reaction, a dopamine hit when you see a baby's face. It's why even if you hate babies when you think about it, when you see one, a bit of you sort of goes, oh. It's so that you'd help one if you found one alone. Now, for the first time in the history of humanity, we have mobile phones, which when you look at the screen and it lights up with that white light, you get a bigger dopamine hit than when you're looking, in some people's instances, at their own baby. Is that not terrifying? And in my instance, with my baby, I think we all know what it means. The baby's face has got to up his game. I want to play games on it. I want to get information out of it. I want to communicate with others via it. Stupid tiny face. Not really. It means I'm having to make myself turn my phone off when I'm hanging around with him and as many other times as possible. And that's my work-life balance. Thank you, bye.
Hey, Hello, Guilty Feminists. Thank you so much to everybody who's come out to meet me on the book tour in this last week. It has meant so much to meet so many of you, hear your stories and sign your books. If you couldn't get a ticket, I'm so sorry, but hopefully we will be coming to a theatre near you and I will get to meet you another time. I am on Mock the Week this week. It's my first time doing Mock the Week and I could really do with your support. So please tune in Friday, 10 p.m, BBC Two, if you are near a British television. And if you enjoyed it, at me at Deborah FW and copy in Mock the Week. I really, really need all my Guilty Feminist massive this week. I am so excited to announce we have Guilty Feminist necklaces designed by Steve Alley, who many of you will know from Grown Up Land. He's a Syrian refugee. He learnt to be a silversmith in the Calais jungle. And you can get a necklace that says Guilty Feminist in silver or one that says Woman in Arabic, which is absolutely stunning. If you go to road-from-damascus.co.uk, half the profits go to Steve's education and the other half goes to his mother's amazing project, which helps female refugees get a craft. Please go and check those out right now, or you can go to On My Radar at the Guardian website and see all my cultural highlights this week and click through from there. Felicity Ward, one of your very favourite Guilty Feminists, is on tour and you can get a ticket. Now, Felicity is starting her tour on October the 3rd in Derby, and she goes all over the country, does a run at Soho Theatre in London, and ends up at Southend-on-Sea on November 30th. Check out dates closest to you at felicityward.com. Her show was nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award. She is absolutely phenomenal. Do not miss it. I have a new independent film. It's called Say My Name. I wrote it and I have a cameo in it. And I'm delighted to tell you that this week at the London Independent Film Awards, it won Best Feature Film, Best Actress for Lisa Brenner, and Best Actor for Nick Blood. I would absolutely love you to see it. And if you hashtag Say My Name movie and say you would like to see it and where you are, it's much more likely to come to a cinema near you. So please let us know if you'd like to see it. Many people are asking what's happened to next week's news, because it was announced by Channel 4. It's a satirical late night topical comedy show, a bit like John Oliver with more direct action. So in the pilot, we addressed the nursing crisis and what we could do to try to turn around the fact that there are currently 40,000 nursing jobs advertised with nobody to go up for them because there's a nursing crisis in this country. If you would like to see this show at Channel 4 and let them know, there's been a pilot made, but we haven't seen it yet and we want a series. At Channel 4, hashtag next week's news. Thank you so much for all your wonderful support as always. And now back to the podcast.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guests today are two incredible comedians and an extraordinary teen activist. Please welcome to the stage Catherine Bohart, Sophie Duca, and Ellen Jones.
Hello, everybody. I am Sophie Duca. I am a comedian, and I got very wet on the way here. That's who I am.
That's who you are, and the detail about you. Was it raining on the way here?
Yes, that's what happened.
Catherine Bohart, tell us about yourself.
Hello, I'm a comedian, and I am dry as a bone.
In her wit, as well as her clothing.
Sure, let's say that.
Ellen Jones, I read about you in The Observer. Under all of the woke teen activists who are changing the world, I was told by The Observer that you were personally going to change the world along with some other teenagers. Is that accurate?
I'm going to try. I can't profess to be funny, but I can change the world, so...
I think that's probably slightly better power, mate.
That's the 50% of all the superpowers that I can fulfil.
Yeah, great. We'll be the guilty four, and you can be the feminist.
I'm okay with that.
Ellen? Tell us a little bit about the activism that you do.
So I do a lot of LGBTQ plus activism, also mental health activism and disability activism. And a lot of that is just running around, often with a video camera or a microphone, talking to people, interviewing them, making sure that people's voices are heard and that rights are kept and not taken away.
So we're talking about work-life balance. How do you balance your life and your work? Ellen, are you still at school?
I am just in my first year of university, but I was doing most of the activism work for which I am known during my A-levels.
There's a lot of this going around. We've had so many people on the show who are doing A-levels.
Like, during my A-levels, I completed the game Snake.
You finished Snake?
Finish Snake.
Finish Snake.
It was just a solid screen of Nokia 3310 Snake.
And that didn't get a round of applause. No. She finished Snake.
Yeah.
It's impressive. While I was in secondary school, I joined a cult. And that cult would not allow me to go to university, but I didn't know that until after I'd fully joined and been dunked in the water. That's what I did. I don't feel it was as productive as what you're doing. How do you balance A-levels with activism?
You don't. No, you can. My activism was very much born out of the fact that when you are the only out lesbian in an all-girls school, you basically become the spokesperson for the gays. So I effectively was the person to whom everyone would come to, and there was even an assumption by kind of my school, who were actually really good at things, and you know, I should give them credit for that, that I would just run everything. So I did. I just took on the responsibility of organising assemblies, of getting in guests, of getting in speakers, raising money for charities. And also, at the same time, I was running a YouTube channel, running a series. All this
what was your
stuff.
YouTube channel?
If you just search my name, Ellen Jones, it will come up. But I ran a series called Queries, which is basically I invite people who aren't me, and we answer all of the ridiculous questions I have ever been asked.
What's
or they
one
have
of the
ever
most ridiculous
asked?
Questions you were asked on it, please?
Endless questions about scissoring. That's basically really? My life. This started at 14, so I've just come up with...
You know, at scissoring?
Yeah, people what? Ask really stupid questions when you say you date a lady, to be fair. They really do. Do you get asked this,
Catherine?
All the time.
How does it work?
The questioning or the sex?
Both. But they're basically just saying, tell me exactly what happened so I can imagine it later. And you're like, I don't want to. That's not appropriate, dad's friend. Not on. But also, I love how you just act like that's normal. Like, I was the only gay in my old girl's school. So was I, but I didn't come out. I was like, I don't want to tell these bitches anything.
Sometimes I feel very, very old already. And I realise that it's because I'm 19. I've been out for 5 years already. And that's an incredibly bizarre experience. Mm. And most of my friends and the people that I'm engaging with are much, much older than me. So I have no idea what I'm actually doing here. I'm mostly just like, I'm a student most of the time and run around doing 20,000 other things as well.
A friend of mine recently asked another friend, when did you come out? And she said, I would consider retiring that question if I were you, because she's bisexual. And she said, I never came out. I just went one day, oh, I fancy her, and said it to my friends immediately, and then started dating a girl at some point. And she said, I've never been in the closet. Do you think increasingly people don't come out?
I don't know. I mean, I'm bi and I have long hair, which means that you have to come out repeatedly.
I mean, so do I.
People like are like, that doesn't go with your face. That's not what the other bridesmaids are doing. I don't know what you mean. What's going on? What's going on? And you're just like, sorry. Yeah, I still bi. Also, I don't know if, are you bi or gay? Doesn't
particularly... Very gay.
Very gay. Okay. Extreme end of gay. Cool.
Basically, as gay as you can get.
Wow, really that far?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Further.
They got you good, okay. Fair. But I think if you're bi, you also have to contend a lot of the time with people not thinking that that's a thing. Mm. So you both have to come out and then also persuade people that it's a real thing. And you're like, I don't have time for this. So I just often say I'm gay.
Yeah, you have to come out constantly. When people say, oh, when did you come out? It's like, well, kind of yesterday. Or any time I meet a new person or enter a new situation, it's like, can I be myself in this scenario? Am I going to have to invent a persona in which I am straight and into men? That's literally what I've been doing for the last 5 years in order to navigate spaces. And especially, like, I have always had short hair, but people still assume that I'm straight because I wear dresses and sometimes, you know, I'm not always in double denim and... I'm sometimes not in double denim with Doc Martens with a large banner that says lesbian across the front of it.
Yeah, and casual wear. I know it.
I was going to say the people that think you're straight are just really hopeful. They're just really, they really want you to be straight.
Nice. Yeah,
that's a nice thought.
Like I should clarify that it's not actually a hair length thing. That doesn't. I feel like we've stressed that too much. You can do whatever with your hair.
Yeah.
And
since moving to university, my brother, every time I go back home, my brother's 3 years younger than me, and he goes, every time you come back with a more lesbian haircut. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, firstly, the back of your head all got shaved. Now it is purple. What is next?
Wow. Just carving pussy in highlights. I got a more lesbian haircut.
Yeah. That would be funny, just to answer that question. I mean, you'd be stuck with it for the rest of the week, though.
Well, I went to a school in which the uniform rules were slightly totalitarian, to the point of, you know, there's the...
Red dress, white hood.
Canopton.
No. Worse, brown.
Oh. Were you, like, training you to be aunts?
Yeah, brown uniform, brown and yellow.
How do you deal with work-life balance, Sophie?
Oh, yeah, work-life balance.
I wasn't going to say, and
being
how do you deal with
scissoring? Being gay is a full-time
job. Yeah. It sounded a lot like I was going to go, how do you deal with bisexuality?
Well, in my job as a lesbian hairdresser.
quite precariously. I feel like it's quite... does anyone balance it well? And also, like, it's work-life balance, but a lot of my life things are quite a lot of work. A lot of things in my life, like family... Like, have you met my mother? She's a lot of work. She's a... It feels like a task sometimes, like the things in your life that you know you should do, like be a good present daughter, are just, like, really, really hard, and sometimes you have to plan for them like you would a job.
I've met Sophie's mum. That's actually true.
That's very true.
She comes to my shows in Edinburgh and she talks the whole time. And
really?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah. Oh. The only time she doesn't talk, by the way, when she talks, she's much funnier than I am, so it's obnoxious. And then the only time she doesn't talk or ask very invasive questions, as though it's a Q&A, is when she closes her eyes for a rest.
Oh,
she sounds amazing.
She's great.
She does sound like a dream audience member.
She's wonderful. Either she's resting or she's learning.
Never listening.
I think life has got busier. Well, certainly my life has, but I think in general life has got busier.
I think that's
we're
a general thing.
We're so much more distracted than we used to be. And I do think that it's the phone. It sucks up all the spare minutes where we would just have rested. Like, speaking of activism, you know, you see someone on Twitter saying something sexist, you think, right, I've got to say something back to that.
Do you think that?
I don't, yeah.
No, I don't always, but sometimes I do. Sometimes I think I've got to defend somebody or ally for somebody. And before, if I was just sitting out the front of a shop waiting for a friend, I would have been like, it's a pigeon. And now I'm like, social justice warrior. Yeah.
But that makes I feel unwell when you have days where you're constantly responding to things.
I feel sick.
And there's definitely an element to which the more you do it, the more there'll be to do. If people around you know that you're a very quick replier, then you've got to keep that. The older you get, the more people there are.
I have real visions of you now being trying to, like,
Jess Bostick tries to stay off the grid so they don't get the idea that you all might answer them.
Well, I either
it
reply
is. So I'm going,
immediately or never.
You reply immediately.
Or never. Well,
oh,
I do,
really?
Yeah, often I'll just forget or go down and then I have to be prompted by somebody. But here's the thing, Sophie. You're looking at me with eyes of judgment, and I understand. But here's the thing. I had this revelation recently. I'm going to die with a full inbox.
You have a full inbox? It's,
no, that's not the case, because I've looked at... A lot of those are spammer. I've just looked at them. I just haven't clicked on them. No.
That,
the revelation I came
I
up with...
I can't have any red in the corner of my
no,
mail
because I can't click on all of them. I'm not going to waste my life clicking on a My Taxi payment. Or an email saying your Amnesty International payment went through. God, spam drain. Like, what? I'm not going to click on all of those.
Read or delete your emails.
Okay, but the point is not
the point is I'm booking a special therapy session just to deal with the trauma of having seen how many unread emails you've got.
All right. They're not really unread. Some of them are just deliberately not looked at. Like...
Okay. This is... The GDPR has come in, Deborah. It's going to be the best thing that's ever happened
4,073 emails that look like they're not...
4,000.
No, listen, they're not real. They're not real. They're like... I don't bother clicking on spam drain. It's only telling me it's drained all my spam.
Whenever, do you know what happens in real life? Whenever I see it, and that happens quite a lot, where I look at a friend's phone and there'll be many, many emails and they're just chill about that.
Well,
I look at that and think... Oh, God, you're so cool.
This is how I know you're adult.
So cool.
Anyway, the point is, what I realised is, there's always going to be unresponded to emails. There's always going to be a things-to-do list. So if you can't handle the idea of a full inbox, Sophie, because I realise your breathing got shallow. If you can't handle that, you will die with a full to-do list, basically, is what I'm saying. And I just had this revelation. I went... No one else is happy to die that way. But I acknowledge... that, like, we could be hit by a bus. You might die with things to do.
I think that's the healthiest attitude.
I just think it's so cool. But what I said this to my very good friend, and I just said, I just had this revelation. Like, it doesn't matter if I don't get back. They'll nudge me, or I'll do it, or I won't, but it doesn't matter. And she said, it goes on beyond that. And she said, because her partner died, and she said, I still get emails for him saying, could he come and do this? And she said, I'll write back and go, I... really need to tell you I'm so sorry, but he's passed away. And they write back and they go, oh, okay, I'm so sorry to hear that. Anyway, is there anyone else there that can do it? And she goes, what? You just, could that have been a separate email though, like sent half an hour later? I'm so sorry for your loss, half an hour later. Just inquiring whether you might have anyone. She was like, they just put it in the same email. And she said, the thing is, it goes on after you've died. People will want from you. And they'll go, why hasn't they responded? Why hasn't Jessica Foster Q responded to this email? She's dead. Okay, well, I'll have to go elsewhere. That's an example, Jess.
That won't stop me replying.
It's just an example.
And once, very fast.
I think this is a really good, healthy thing. No one else seems to be responding well. Catherine, do you have a full inbox?
I have OCD.
Okay, I'm sorry, this is stressing
Should I have
out.
Opened with that? I have OCD, so I love a to-do list because it means I can be very clear on what I'm achieving in the day, and also because I get to make a list, big fan. And I do not have a full inbox because I'm not...
Do you genuinely have OCD, or do you mean using that colloquially?
No, those people are the worst. I have obsessive compulsive disorder, the diagnosed kind.
Right, just check it.
I mean, I just love a tiny house kind because I hate those people. If you're one of them, don't be. And not a fan.
I'm sorry, I must have triggered you so much by saying this.
Just in every way possible. But the thing is...
don't say it, don't.
But to be honest, the desk had already done that. It's fine. I'm fine, it's fine.
Is this difficult for you that this isn't straight? I'll straighten. I'll tidy. Oh, God. Because the thing is...
I love that this happens when you say you have OCD.
Don't, because if you
I
start with a desk, it'll be just a matter of seconds until we're onto hair.
No, because... Okay, I've just... I have a clinical need to please people, and you have OCD. So I am now empathetically going, I must straighten everything.
And I'm okay with that. I'm kind of the other end of the spectrum in terms of when you say that you have to figure out how to work and how not to be working all the time, because I love working all the time, and I find it very hard to relax, but in that way where I don't understand why I have to, because I like working, and I could be working. I have to make myself relax and try to enjoy it. And
what do
not.
You do to do that? Do you have any strategies?
Yep, my girlfriend tells me to.
Good.
Good.
I have a similar thing, but I do like very active relaxing.
Okay, so we're relaxing. My so we relaxing have an itinerary like, for relaxing. Yeah.
An hour and a half relaxing in the gym.
Yeah. I did that with yoga. That's my place where I get to put my phone on silent because you have to.
Yeah.
You're forced. And I love it. As soon as I've done it, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm not looking at my phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, you could do that other times
of
the day.
All my activism works online predominantly, so I literally cannot get away from it. And if you, for example, wanted to take a break or wanted to not engage with the discussion, there are people on my back for not engaging with certain discussions enough. I get messages being like, well, why do you need to tweet about this issue? Genuinely. So I have to be consciously aware of every negative thing that's going on in the world and also know how to fix it.
It's a lot.
If you have that skill, get in touch. I do understand, though, because there isn't like a thing about performative activism where people basically jump on the bandwagon of a topic in order to seem like they're educated and informed and like they know what they're doing. And because it's a good thing to do, whilst also not putting in things that are actually going to help. Mm. They just like want to use a trendy hashtag.
Sure, but you'd still need to self-care. If you haven't had time or energy or impetus to write about something, you're not obliged to.
You'd think. But genuinely, the world in which I inhabit is one in which I'm expected to be constantly on demand.
Oh, well, I don't want to live there. And it's wild.
I have always grown up with social media. So for me, it's a very normal thought process to be part of. But for other people, for whom that isn't what they did.
Such a diplomatic way of saying, but for older people.
Yeah, like I was
the four of you.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's completely. I'm Gen X. I tweet when I fucking want.
I think it's really interesting that you talk about and you talked about like feminist arguments or stuff on Twitter as work, because I like genuinely feel sometimes I'm like got better at not jumping in on arguments, but sometimes I'm like I feel it is my duty and responsibility as a feminist to call this person out. I am a social justice warrior princess, and my calling in life is to like sort this stuff out. Like I feel like I don't want to explain things to people all the time. I don't want to be that guy, but you feel like that's your role. Like you've got to have those conversations because you know better.
I think it's the choice, though. It's to do with the choice of whether you choose to actively engage and actively educate or whether it's an expectation placed upon you. It's exactly the same thing as I had when I was 14. I was trying to go to my lessons at school, and instead I was getting surrounded by a group of people and going, so how do you have sex with girls? It's exactly the same thing where you're kind of being imposed upon to educate. Yeah.
Do you find, Sophie, that as a woman of colour, there's an extra...
Oh, yeah. I have to explain to people. People come to me often and ask, like, is this racist? And I'm like, no, not that. But the constantly asking me if things are racist is kind of... I feel
like...
You
said it was fine.
Sorry, Catherine.
I ask Sophie's mother, is this racist? I go around the problem, and she's always in my show, so it's convenient.
I'm really worried she'll listen. She's a great lady. She really is.
We've overrun. Who's the charity? Who's the charity of the week?
Hi, my name is Christine. I am a volunteer trustee of Verity, which is the UK's only charity for women with polycystic ovary syndrome in England and Wales. We were set up in 1997 to share the truth about the condition and improve the lives of women with PCOS. The entire charity is run daily by under 10 volunteers, including the trustees, in our spare time, so work-life balance sucks. We all have PCOS. We use evenings, weekends, holiday time from work to keep everything going. So this includes running annual patient conferences, producing information packs for medical professionals and patients alike, and using political and media connections and events like this one to raise awareness and spread accurate information. For those not familiar with the condition, in an oversimplified way, it's an endocrine or hormone imbalance that raises the levels of more common male hormones in women. So symptoms can include irregular periods, lack of ovulation, difficulty becoming pregnant, or some of the symptoms you may have seen in the media, women with male pattern hair growth or hair loss. To the point we actually had a woman who contacted us once. She was growing male pattern facial hair. She then tried to burn her face with battery acid, feeling that it was more socially acceptable to have scars on her face than it was to be a woman with male pattern hair growth.
So the condition affects roughly 1 in 10 women worldwide and about 1 in 5 women in the UK. And if left undiagnosed and unmanaged, can lead to conditions such as type 2 diabetes, endometrial cancer and heart disease. Last year as a charity, we ran on approximately £7,000, which is half of the year before that. And if this trend continues, we probably won't be here in the next 1 to 2 years. We are in desperate need of both funds and volunteers to stay afloat. If anyone out there is good at grant applications, then we definitely need you. You can find out more about us, donate and volunteer at www.verity-pcos.org.uk.
Thank you. And we will be collecting on the way out the door. If you're listening at home, we don't charge for this podcast, so if you could pop something in, I know it would be very, very, very much appreciated. Sophie Duker, do you have anything to plug?
I do a monthly night called Wacky Racists. It's not a night for quirky racists. It's just a pun, but it's a monthly night in London, and it will also be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival if you're listening to this later in time in August 2018.
Catherine Bohart, do you have anything to plug?
I have a show in Edinburgh. It is called Immaculate, and I'm on every day at 4:15 at the Fringe. Should you wish to come, if you're going to be in Edinburgh, I would love to see you there. Sophie's mom hopefully will be there, unless she listens to the podcast.
Sleeping away.
And yeah,
that's great. Fantastic. And Ellen, anything to plug?
You can check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/Ellen Jones. And also I have a podcast which is launching this month. And if you enjoy this podcast, I imagine you'd like that. It's called Never Read the Comments, and it's about people using the internet to affect positive social change.
Jess, do you have anything to plug?
Yes, I have a podcast all about eating called Hoovering.
Great, absolutely, listen, it's fantastic. And I would like to plug Grown Up Land, BBC Radio 4 podcast that we make, and also Global Pillage, globalpillage.net. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis-White, guest co-host Jessica Mostaghue, and our very special guests, Catherine Bohart, Sophie Duker, and Ellen Jones. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. Music was by Mark Hodge. The producer was Tom Selinsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Zoe, Jacob, Sally, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit TheGuiltyFeminist.com. I'm going to try this one for the audience. It's a bit dangerous. It'll probably be edited out, but this is the Guilty Feminist lock-in. Okay, I'm a feminist, but when I was at the Millicent Fawcett unveiling statue, when we got there, Millicent Fawcett was totally veiled, just like a big black cloth over her. And I texted a picture to Steve, who's my Syrian flatmate, and said, look where I am. Millicent Fawcett unveiling, fancy. And he texted back, she reminds me of my grandmother. And I did laugh quite a lot.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.